Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, let's get right to it. Jay, how we doing on a Thursday? Pour one out for Steven Twitch Boss, the DJ on Ellen DeGeneres' show. Do you know about this guy?
I heard about it. I had no idea who he was.
Come on. I thought you had a worldwide global index of all DJs.
I never heard of him, though.
Yeah, well, anyway, suicide's a terrible thing. Sorry to hear it.
I did hear it was suicide, though, which that's a bit odd, but everybody has a different story.
Yeah, you never know the turmoil that's going inside. Also, I just took a nap because I watched Morocco and France in World Cup soccer, and boy, right. Am I tired from this boring sport, Jay. Did you watch it at all?
I have not watched 1 second.
Wow.
Of the World Cup. And I don't intend to.
Okay, well, there you go. Brilliant game by France. Which, by the way, is populated by pretty much half African players. You know that. They've taken advantage of their liberal immigration policies. So they've got a team of ringers in France, Jay.
Well, sort of like America.
Sort of like America, yeah, except our team's not nearly as good. This guy Mbappe, is apparently a really, really good player.
If you say so.
I know. So you never took to soccer, huh?
Never have, never will.
Never have, never.
Yeah.
Wow, not even at all like, yeah, give it a shot.
It's like chicken parmesan. Don't like it.
Whoa. What?
Yeah, hate it.
One of my favorite dishes of all time. You don't like chicken parm. Why not?
Stand it. I just detest it, and I'll never eat. The first time I tried it, I think I was 9, and my mother made me eat it, and I hated it then. I hate it now.
Interesting.
Chicken parmesan will never cross these lips ever again.
Wow. So what don't you like about it? I mean, it's basically it's chicken, it's fried bread, and it's mozzarella cheese and marinara. Do you like marinara sauce?
You can break down each part to me.
Yes.
I like it. I like it.
You just don't like it together.
It's like succotash. I like green beans. I mean, I like.
Suffering succotash.
I like succotash as a, was it carrots and whatever? But you put them together, like lima beans, whatever. I can't eat together.
All right. Well, there you go. So let's start with one of the more gobsmacking things I think I've seen or heard in a long time from a guy who's been getting almost universal praise for, hey, he's really good at this. Won RG3 with what normally would have been a fatal on-air mistake involving a racial slur, but apparently he's going to skate by on this one. Jay, when I sent it to you, you were like, you got to be kidding me.
Because I've heard him say stuff that kind of skirts the line.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, he's trying to be cute. He's trying to be, but, and for him, the excuse that he used, I didn't know the word. I've heard him use other stuff.
Right.
And like I said, he goes up. He's an habitual line stepper. Only this time he went over the line.
All right, here we go. This is Robert Griffin III on Monday Night Countdown with Steve Young and Booger McFarland talking about Jalen Hurts putting the haters, for lack of the term he used for a different term, putting the haters to rest with his outstanding season. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. There we go. Unmute, and here we go.
Not. No, he didn't.
The Eagles just keep leveling up, in my opinion. I think they're your favorite team's favorite team. People said that Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done. He couldn't operate from the pocket. He's not the quarterback of the future. I think he proved all those jigaboos wrong. And when you
what?
Talk about
what?
Teams, the Chiefs,
look
the
at
Bills,
Steve.
The Cowboys,
look at
whoever
Steve's
else
face.
Is out there,
he
has
stroke.
To show up against this team. This team is the one that has two number one wide receivers,
look
two
at Steve.
Shutdown corners, has the best O-line and D-line.
That's somebody on their TikTok account. Wow. Afterwards, RG3 said he meant to say bugaboo. I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either because bugaboo, that doesn't even make any sense.
He put all these
bugaboos.
He couldn't operate from the pocket. He's not the quarterback of the future. I think he proved all those jigaboos wrong.
Wow. So what do you think happened here? A, he's just genuinely a little bit dense when it comes to language. B, he did this knowing it skirt right to the line, if not over it, but they would survive and he would go further viral and thus enhance his status on air. Or is there a third explanation I'm leaving out?
No, I told you he's tried to be cute during his whole broadcast career. And this time he got caught.
Are you saying
in the cookie drawer?
The drawer full of cookies.
You can't do it. Cookie jar. Anyone can do it. See?
Right.
I'm not getting paid $800,000 though.
Oh God.
But it is, and by the way, I want to get some, you and Andy were talking about two things, and I have to bring those up. By the way.
So okay.
Let's put a pin in RG3.
Put a pin in RG3 for a second. But yeah. So I would say this: that when people on TV go right to the edge and go viral, but don't get fired, it only helps propel their career. Right.
Yes.
For example, when Colin Cowherd talks about John Wall doing the Dougie and not being leadership material because of it, or when he made the crack about somebody, you know, not being able to walk off the island as a baseball player, I forget who it was he talked about, but it was like really close to like, hey man, this could be fatal, and he survived. Or Clay Travis talking on CNN, I believe in the First Amendment and boobs, oh my God, and then getting banned. It's that go just viral enough to not be fatal and enhance your reputation.
I don't. Some people get away with it. Some people don't.
Yeah. Or in the case of Stephen A. Smith, remember when he did the N please on ESPN and claimed he never said that?
But he clearly did because I remember that. And I don't. Yeah, okay. So we can go to what? Okay. Here's you and Andy were talking about Stephen A. Smith. You were talking about Shannon Sharp and
What did you make of the Shannon Sharp Skip Bayless?
I could care less about.
I'm stunned that so many people bought it. Like, oh my God! And so many athletes are like, man, Shannon showed real restraint there. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
It was a whole work.
Total work.
But when you went to Andy and said,
oh boy.
There are no up and coming Tony Mike.
Like, who's the next $5 million a year pundit TV personality?
And I was driving home and I said, let me think of anyone who I sort of respect or would want to hear from. And I could, I was like trying to think of all those people around the horn. And I was like, there's nobody on there that is younger than Kalishaw that's worth anything. The only person, and I know you're not going to like it,
Nick Wright.
Nick Wright and Bolamani. Those were the only two that were worth anything on that show. Do you want to hear what Sarah Spain has to say?
No.
Do you want to hear what Elle Duncan has to say?
No, although she's hot.
She's extremely beautiful. But
yes, she's nice. Her versus Joy Taylor, go.
I think Elle Duncan, because she has personality.
Wow. Okay.
There's like four other guys in that show. Like, they're all dunces.
So you agree that maybe this was just a moment in time where ESPN said, well, we can afford to pay these guys this much, and they're the ones that are most recognizable, but it's not going to be like, well, this guy's retiring, got to get a new $5 million a year TV sports pundit. Who's the one?
Well, what's that guy, Jason McIntyre? Total yeah. dunce. I don't think he even knows that much about sports.
Okay. Right. He ain't going to make that much money for sure. No. What about RG3? Of course, he's an ex-athlete, though. That's the thing. I'm looking at the, you know, you got three guys in Bayless, Coward, and Stephen A. Smith making absurd amount of money. And then throw Tony and Wilbon into that as well. Between the five pundits, it's $25 million between the five of them.
And nobody likes Skip Bayless.
No.
And he's made that into an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has chemistry like Tony and Mike. I don't know why people, I've never understood the Coward, because I didn't like him from day one on ESPN. I thought he was a total charlatan.
Yes.
Were we working at ESPN? Yes, we were. We were working at 980, and they sent out, listen to the Colin Cowherd show. Listen to Colin say stuff like this. And it was like a 10, 15 second blurb of him giving his viewpoint on something. And I'm not lying to you, Zabe. He was doing Chris Rock's whole bit. And
really?
I said more, yes. And I remember he was like, athletes are supposed to do this. He was doing the exact same thing Chris Rock did. I said, this guy, it's a schlub. He's not good. And I did not like him from day one. Who's the next Dan Patrick? No, nobody can. We're not making any more good ones. In fact, didn't Sarah Spain just get fired from her gig from ESPN Radio?
No.
I think she did.
Spain is out at ESPN Radio?
I think she had a show with Fitz in Spain. That show's done. Yeah.
Oh, my God. There it is. Sarah Spain leaving ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
Is she still going to appear on Around the Horn?
I guess, but what does that mean? Big deal. You get 10 minutes of airtime a week.
Who was the good-looking pixie-cut lesbian soccer player who also was part of...
Kate Fagan?
Kate Fagan, yes.
Haven't seen her in eons.
Okay. How is Katie Nolan?
Have not seen
Fagan,
her.
Fagan left ESPN at the end of 2018. Katie Nolan as well. Wow, Sarah Spain leaving. That's a tough one. Tough one for her. I mean, I'm not broken up about it. She'll remain at ESPN, although not leaving completely, but more details will be coming soon.
So that means she'll be doing nothing.
Yeah. Do you know that I have I've been receiving, some guy has it out for Amy Lawrence of ESPN Radio, who does weekend overnights.
No, not even ESPN, CBS.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Some guy CCs me in the emails he sends to management saying, Amy Lawrence is a total hack and a fraud. You should not have her on the radio. Nobody cares what she says. Guy's name is Reebstock. John Reebstock.
Well,
I just typed in my email. I can honestly say Amy has never been right or wrong about anything, and I have never agreed with her working from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the graveyard shift. Amy Lawrence is an epic failure at life. She has no spouse, no kids, and she sucks at her job. She should be fired.
This guy needs to get what they call a effing life.
Oh, no.
If he's worried about Amy Lawrence.
No. His life is apparently just ripping on Amy Lawrence.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking at the current panelist for Around the Horn. Okay. Do you know any of these people? And I'm just going to... Okay, here. The first one, they want to be something big, but nobody likes him. Nobody can communicate with him. Pablo Torre. Nobody likes Pablo Torre.
No, he's the nerd at the lunchroom table. Nobody That's would what sit I mean. With.
He's okay. Sarah Spain. Well, George. I love George, so I can't say anything bad about George.
Lopez. George Lopez. George Sonato.
Yeah.
You racist, Abe. You just picked the first Hispanic name that came to mind.
Monica McNutt.
Female
college player from Washington. Okay, whatever.
This is the thing. They're now working in WNBA players into the mix. Chike, Chigi Ngakoue. What's her name that did the show
Che. There's a great shot of her standing next to a board and. Let's just say something's pronounced. Let's just say.
And you know what?
And it made the rounds.
And you know what? There's a reason why they can do this. Because sports opinions have become commoditized where it takes no effort to pick a few up. Like you're buying, a little handful of Chiclets. It's nothing. Whereas before, to have a sports opinion, Jay, you had to actually follow sports and have a passion for sports and to think about arguments that you could then defend with either facts or volume or both. Now the sports opinions are everywhere. You just dip your hand into the big bucket of them and you pull some out and you call them your own, which is fine because everyone's opinions are like assholes. They all stink. But at the same time, this is what I built my life and career on. Kind of scary.
It is, but I'm looking at this list of people and Clinton Yates, no.
Writer.
Frank Isola.
Meh, writer.
Right, he's okay. Jay Adande, writer.
Writer. So question. Yeah. So I guess then you
Israel Gutierrez, okay. Who checks all the boxes, Hispanic and gay.
But here's the thing. They want somebody who's a big enough personality that they can sell as, you got to listen to this guy. And Colin Cowherd, while douchebaggy as the day is long, is at least a big enough guy. You can go, oh, listen to the confidence with which he is wrong about things. Right?
Because he's wrong all the time.
Yeah. And this was the same way with Francesa during his dying days. It was like, it didn't matter how wrong he was or how much he lied about, I never said that. And the Twitter account Funhouse would poke fun of him at back after this. It was like he was larger than life. By the way, they're thinking about bringing back Francesa to work with Mad Dog on an ESPN show together.
Now, see, I've never gotten Mad Dog for a while. I've said this before.
Jay, good job by you. I know you don't like me, but listen, I'm in a quiet taste, all right? Yeah, New Yorkers listen to me the whole time, okay? Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
I was going to say, while the three times I've met him was one of the nicest men I ever met, but he comes across as a stuttering buffoon on the air.
I wouldn't say buffoon.
I would. I've heard him. He used to come on the Sports Reporters on Sundays. Yes. And I distinctly remember columnists looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he just came across as maybe that show was too smart for him. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, you're talking about, John Saunders, and you're talking about Bill Conlon, who turned out to be a pedophile.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah,
you're a talking. You're talking about Bob Ryan, who's nice.
What was my guy who died?
Teal. Well, they all died. We're all going to die, for God's sakes.
No. What was the? He was the writer who died, and
Ralph Wiley.
Ralph Wiley would look at Mad Dog with disdain.
Well, because Ralph Wiley had an IQ that was through the roof. Brilliant.
I love Ralph Wiley.
I know. Well, Andy and I were lucky enough to have Ralph on the Sports Reporters periodically as a guest before he passed away way too early. Died of a heart attack suddenly. Kind of like Grant Wall. By the way, update on Grant Wall.
Yes.
Autopsy says a undetected, slow-growing, ascending ventricular clot in his heart that went to his brain. Boom,
man,
dead.
You never fucking know.
Sort of like a widowmaker, so says his wife. Very sad.
You don't know. You never know about that shit. It's just, like I told you, I had a cough. And they were like, oh, this is taking away from your heart. What? Who knew about this shit?
You had a what?
Yeah. I remember like 2 years ago, I had a bad cough and it was fluid on the chest.
Oh,
it
right.
It was literally zapping everything out of my heart. The littlest shit like that. I thought it was a cold. Thought it was bronchitis. Little did I know. That's some serious...
Did you get stented?
I didn't get anything. They didn't...
What'd they do for you?
They gave me some medicine and everything kind of went back to normal.
But it was a heart thing?
It was a heart thing. Oh, and okay. It literally like went like my heart was pumping at like 10% and yes, 10%.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I remember the doctor's practitioner who I saw like the day after the episode. She has me on this monitor and my friend Denise was with me. I'll never forget. And the lady goes, oh, that's low. And I'm like, really? Thank you. Why don't you? And scared the fucking bejesus out of me. But yeah.
It's never good that when the medical techs have hushed tones.
Yes.
And you can tell in their eyes, you're like, what? What's the fucking matter?
Yeah. But then like 4 months later, it was back up to 65%. So.
Well, thank God for that.
But yeah. But yeah. Like, I could have been another month and a half. I might have been Grant Wall.
Or Mike Leach. Fucking A, man.
What the hell? Was that a heart attack?
They said it was from an existing heart condition. Who knows? Everyone's medical history is very private, except for on this podcast where we pretty much divulge all. But yeah,
Terrible diet he had.
Yeah.
I mean.
But there's guys with worse diets and worse lifestyles than him. It is a lottery. Grant Wall was super fit. And a lot younger, 12 years younger. You just don't know. But the thing about Leach, I am blown away at the number of clips I hadn't seen of him riffing on subject A or subject B. And I'm blown away at the number of stories from people that covered his teams that spoke of his generosity and just how fucking cool and chill he was. You know, female reporters are like, I wanted to break in. I wanted to cover the team. I intercepted him walking to his office on campus one day and asked if I could interview him. And he said, sure, you just have to keep up with me and otherwise I'm fine. And was totally helpful. Like, I know that it's trite to say that he was one of the good ones because you don't totally know. And there was that whole thing with Craig James's kid. More on that in a second.
Which I think he was totally exonerated for.
Well, I think for the most part. But, you know, basically he seems like just – one of the great coaches in terms of his mindset we've ever had. And one of the most out-of-the-box coaches ever, considering the fact that he got a law degree and then said, nah, I just want to coach for $3,000 a year at San Luis Obispo.
I mean, he developed the air raid, which
with Hal Mumme at Kentucky. Right.
Because you had to, because if you weren't Nebraska or Oklahoma or USC – or Penn State, and you didn't have 300-pound linemen and 260-pound linebackers, you couldn't compete. So he said, I'll do something and spread everybody out and get small, quick people. Out of necessity, you had to do it.
Right, and the thinking was, if you're going to throw a lot, you better have a transcendent talent at quarterback. And knowing as how hard those are to find, and they're not going to come to places like Texas Tech or Washington State, he or Kentucky, he and Hal Mumme said, all right, we're going to have a small handful of passing plays that have variations, but it's a small menu of plays, and we're going to drill them and drill them and drill them, and we're going to perfect them so that our quarterback can just execute it, and he doesn't have to have a golden arm. He just has to be able to make a quick decision and go, boom.
Get the ball.
That's how Tim Couch became the number one pick in the draft and couldn't play in the NFL.
They beat, when I say they, Texas Tech. Remember, they beat Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma was ranked number one.
Oh, they were no joke.
Yeah.
And changed the Big 12. Totally. Like, the Big 12 prior to him coming in was not the wide open 63-60, outcome league that had become.
It was Colorado, Oklahoma, and Nebraska running option football and gaining 500 yards of offense.
Yeah. We're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Ooh, by the way, did I ask you yet about Dion at Colorado? I don't think I have. I need to put a quarter in the J jukebox on prime time.
I'm not angry at him leaving because people don't know at Jackson State.
Oh, we did talk about this. You quizzed me on HBCU schools.
That's right.
Made me look bad.
The money he had to dole out and also the shit that he got stolen from him. We did talk about
it. All right. So when it comes to coaches, though, is Leach one of the most out-of-the-box thinking coaches of all time? Has to be up there with Paul Westhead when he went to Loyola Marymount and said, fuck it, we are going to shoot within 10 seconds every possession, and we'll just go from there. There was a coach in, I think, Division III, bless you, a coach in Division III football who never punted. Never
high school,
punted.
No, that was high school.
Was it?
High school in Arkansas. It was a high school in Arkansas.
Okay.
He never punted, which, if you think about it, if you make 3 yards, 3 yards, and 3 yards,
There's a lot to be said for it. Who else would be an outside the box coach in sports history?
Tony La Russa was outside the box.
How so?
Nobody was using the bullpen like he was at that time. In the late 80s, early 90s, no one was using 3 and 4 and 5 bullpen people. It was, let's get to the eighth with our guy. We'll have a
setup guy and a closer. We'll call it a day. Right.
But La Russa used like 7 guys.
Wow.
And literally changed it for the way we look at baseball right now. Good or bad?
I say bad.
Right,
exactly. By the way, I was talking about baseball with my daughter and my wife at the dinner table last night. My daughter, Megan, said how proudly she hates baseball and doesn't like baseball and will never like baseball. And so that got dad a chance to get up on his soapbox and do some dad-splaining about the rule changes that are coming. And my wife, also not being a big sports fan, she was listening with, I'd like to say, rapt attention, although I don't think they were really rapt. They were just there because, well, it's dinner. And they didn't feel like getting up and walking away from dad.
Right.
And I told him, I said, well, look, here's the deal. Baseball, they figured out, you know, because of data and everything else that, you know, batter X is never going to hit the ball over here to the left side. Or if he is, it's a total fluke. So let's just go put another infielder over on this side of the field. And they were able to do that because they knew with good, hard, well-kept data and other information that that was the best strategic play. And they were like, really? Wow. You know, I was like, yeah, well, that's what happens with data. I said, in basketball, they started to figure out shooting threes is just a way better strategy because they're worth an extra point. And these guys got really good at shooting from far away when they weren't so good before. So the game has changed. And I said, look, I think these rules can be anything you want them to be. I think you're against this rule against the shift, right?
No, I hate the shift.
So you're happy with the new rule?
Yeah.
Good.
I hate the shift.
Good, yeah.
The shift.
Good.
But then again, it's also pitcher throw. They only throw one speed now. They throw one pitch.
Well, a million miles an hour. The other thing is,
they throw it as hard as they can.
Yeah. Velos are up. I love saying velos. Makes me sound cool. Velocities are up across the board. Spin rates are up across the board, which matters because the pitch is breaking
more. Launch angle.
And yeah, and I said these batters realize that, hey, getting a blink single to the open side of the field is nice, but you're not going to do shit in an inning if you don't stand on second base. And once you blink it into the open spot where the shift was, you still have to somehow get to second, which means somebody else has to get you there because basically nobody steals anymore.
I guess we also have to put Billy Bean in this also too, though.
In terms of a revolutionary outside-the-box thinkers? Yes. Not a coach, but a general manager, Billy Bean, who took Moneyball to the next level.
Well, again, and as I said on this podcast, Moneyball is the biggest farce of a fucking movie in the entire history of cinematic movies. I know
that's funny.
Moneyball. We're going to talk about...
Remember the time we made the wild card?
Except we're not going to talk about their three great pitchers. They're roided up left side of the infield, and the guy who wears a closer who threw 100 miles an hour. We're not going to talk about those guys. Yeah.
Anyway, nice. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, right?
Okay. And again, the second thing I wanted to bring, I heard you say something in passing.
Oh, boy.
Kind of dismissive. And I was boy. Okay. So you and Andy were talking about the Heisman. Congratulations to DC's own Caleb Williams, by the way. And I can't remember how you guys were talking about it, but you said, or you could just take money from USC like Reggie Bush. And I was like, huh? You know how many people don't know the Reggie Bush story but think they do?
Would I be one of them?
Do you know what happened
to Reggie Bush? He got a house on the beach, I think.
No. Okay.
An apartment on the beach.
No.
Why'd they take his Heisman?
So Reggie Bush's parents were getting evicted from their house. Their townhouse in San Diego where they lived. They were getting evicted because the person who they were renting from was not paying the not mortgage tax, but the property tax. And so they moved into a house, and the guy who owned the house was a family friend. And the NCAA, and I hear you typing, and I love this because you're going to go, oh, yeah. So
I'm not looking it up. I was actually sending a text back.
Oh, sorry. So
I was trying to do it quietly, too.
So the NCAA deemed that the guy who gave them that house was a booster for the NCAA, and that Coach Todd McNair, who was very close with Reggie Bush, knew about this. Todd McNair, by the way, has since gotten $8 million from the NCAA because his character was besmeeched.
What?
Or whatever.
Besmeeched.
Besmirched, besmeeched, whatever.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. I guess I need to get up to speed on that. Is that all that he got?
OJ Mayo took money.
Oh, okay.
That was one who took money. But
right.
Reggie Bush did not take dime one. And by the way, the person who was on the board who was overseeing the case was a man named Paul D. You can look this up. Paul D was the athletic director for this little school in Miami called the U. And he was the athletic director during the time of the Pell Grant scandal. Remember that from the University of Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the guy who was not a money launderer, but...
The bag man, so to speak?
Yes. He was the athletic director doing Norman Shapiro. That was his name.
Okay.
Yes. So Paul D was overseeing all this. He then oversees Reggie Bush's case. And the reason why he gave USC the death penalty, he says, high institutions need high standards. And I was what the? Yes. So. Yes.
All right. So that's good to know, Jay. You on that, because you're a USC fan, you're very steeped and very knowledgeable.
Plus, it's unfair. No, plus it's unfair to Reggie. Reggie Bush gets a bad rap.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told you.
They took his Heisman.
I told you. He was sweet as pie in college, and he won a world championship. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints, as he pretty much reinvented his running style. The year that he won the Super Bowl with the Saints, he was a between-the-tackles pounder. Like, he took a beating when he ran for the Saints. Do you remember?
I do. Can we say one of the six most exciting players you've ever seen in your entire life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Come out of your chair and say, holy shit, Reggie's loose. Hips and everything else.
I was looking up on the dais of the people who were there. My God, there's some people who need their Heismans taken back. Can we give back Johnny Manziel's Heisman? Yes. Can we give back the guy from
There were some bad ones in over the years. Josh Heupel.
That's who, yes.
Turned into a great coach, though. Give him that much. Well, this is why people were upset that Stetson Bennett was on the stage and had been invited.
He shouldn't have been.
I know.
He shouldn't have been.
I know. But, they felt like Georgia needed representation. The quarterback and the number one team in the country, they felt like we had to put him there.
Only one
guy can win. I mean, okay.
Well, you know what? When he's a senator in like 15 years or 10 years, he'll be just fine.
Okay.
And he will be, because his life is going to be really good in the state of Georgia forever.
Well, yeah. Well, he's a great story, by the way, from a guy who was a scout team practice squad quarterback and worked his way all the way up. I mean, this is Georgia, Jay. Georgia could have anyone they want in theory at quarterback.
And they chose him. Yes.
Well, it's not – I mean, they chose him, but he also played his way into the position and did not give it up.
Yeah, JT Daniels got hurt, and he never relinquished, which
– Right. Let's see some of the scrub Heisman winners through the years. Jason White, Oklahoma.
Oh, God.
Chris Winkie.
Oh, God.
Florida State. Denny Werfel.
Give it
Florida.
Back. Another one who asked you to give it back.
How about Rashawn Salaam for Colorado?
He was good. No, Rashawn Salaam ran for a lot of yards.
1,700 yards that year, but still. I mean, it was a system that produced it. Anyway, couple things. Speaking of deep knowledge of guys that get a bad rap, you know what my wheelhouse is? My wheelhouse is in what a bad rap Dante Stallworth got for his vehicular DUI, his vehicular homicide. DUI, you know, like he killed the guy drunk driving. Yes.
In Miami, right? Yeah.
Yes. It was 6 a.m. in the morning, and the guy that he hit, this construction worker, hopped over a concrete barrier on a four-lane divided roadway because he was trying to catch a bus and ran right in front of Stallworth's car. Stallworth had the misfortune of blowing just over the legal limit. I don't know how drunk he was, but they didn't say that he swerved in any particular manner. He just didn't stop in a split second for a guy who basically jumped in his way.
I can't really find fault. Well,
I'm not saying legally, it was a bad verdict. I'm saying the media scorn for him was absent any context of how serious it was. Gino Toretta, another shit Heisman Trophy winner.
Give it back. What was the guy for the Broncos?
What do you mean the guy for the Broncos? The Heisman Trophy winner for the Broncos? No, Tim Tebow?
No, the guy who ran over somebody and killed them. Remember?
You're talking about the Rams, Leonard Little?
No, he played for the Broncos last year and ran. He was drunk driving and killed, I think, a little girl.
Darren Williams got killed.
No.
I'm trying to Google it. I don't see it. I can't think of it. Henry Ruggs, of course, killed.
Not Broncos, Raiders. Henry Ruggs. Yeah.
Henry Ruggs is a scumbag.
Wrong team. Sorry.
Who I don't know if he's in prison yet or if his
trial is. Yes, he is.
He's already been convicted.
I thought he was in prison. Yes.
I mean, he was going 153 miles. Ooh, yes. 50 years in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he killed like a young girl.
Yeah. Who was just parked on the side of the road and she burned to death. 23-year-old woman and her dog.
And her dog. I was going to say that.
At 3:40 in the morning, he was going 156 with double the blood alcohol limit. That's crazy.
Who's going to feel sorry for him? No one.
Ruggs is already facing felony charges. He may spend as much as 46 years in prison.
So he's not in jail yet.
If found guilty. Right. Yeah, apparently. Apparently not. So real quick, speaking of deep knowledge of things where people got a bad rap. So today it was announced that Sean Miller was going to face no sanctions from the scandal at Arizona that eventually forced him out. He's now at Xavier. Many people are like, well, I can't believe it. But my guy, Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, who calls me Zabes, plural, and drives my listeners crazy, like, doesn't he know that's not your nickname? I'm like, just let him go with it. He said that he all along thought that basically Sean Miller was not guilty of what he was being accused of. And he feels like this is a correct outcome. This is the DeAndre Ayton thing with the Adidas guys and, you know, trying to basically say, well, we can get you paid for this, get you paid for that. He was caught on recording on this wiretap by the government. I always thought that it was pretty shady that, yeah, Sean Miller was cheating, but now I need to dig deeper into this to see what my boy Aaron Torres is talking about.
Well, what about the guy who was coaching, I want to say Arkansas, but I could be wrong, who was basically LSU, the coach for LSU.
Oh, remember? Brady.
He got caught to dead to rights and was like, I'm not saying anything, and just walked away.
Let's see. Is it Joe Brady was the football guy?
Football fields, yeah.
But Brady hoops, though. I think his name was Brady, their basketball coach. John Brady. Yeah, John Brady.
Yes.
He is currently not coaching.
Because I think you got to show cause if you want to hire him.
But that was up until 2008 at LSU. I thought.
And he basically gave them the middle finger. Like, come get me.
Yeah, he made an unlikely run to the Final Four in 2006. Went to Arkansas State. Brady was fired. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Of course, he replaced Dale Brown. And when Brady arrived, the program was under probation from a stinging recruiting scandal. So, yeah.
Shocker. Shocker.
It might have been somebody else. Now, see, I got to find this now. Hold on, Jay. Read the promo for our sponsor today while I get this up.
We're sponsored by Shoestrings.
Shoestrings, keeping shoes on your feet for a long time.
Since 1937.
Right, exactly. Let's see. Head coaches, basketball.
I think it was Brady. I think you're right about that.
All right, here we go. Come on, Internet. Let's do your thing. Then we'll do FTG, and then we'll be on our way out the door. Will Wade.
Who was John Brady? John Brady was there, but until
2008, he was relatively clean. Will Wade. Oh, okay. He cheating.
Okay.
Will Wade LSU scandal. That name Brady, though.
That name Brady kind of was like, I know who this is.
Yeah. Louisiana State abruptly fired men's basketball coach Will Wade on Saturday, less than a week after the school received a notice of allegations from the NCAA that accused Wade of five major rules violations. Well, now it doesn't fucking matter because it's all NIL. The sport is awash in legal,
there's no cheating
illegal
anymore.
Money. Right. No. Here we go. Stand by.
I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, who do you got, buddy?
I didn't have an FTG until about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, better late than never.
And
let's
then
go.
I was skimming Twitter.
Okay.
And one of your listeners, by the way, can I say hello to the listener who I saw at CVS who said he enjoyed the show?
Oh, yeah,
only
sure.
And only recognized me because when they said my order and name, he recognized that I was lived around the area.
Cottrell, extra large dose of Viagra, extra large dose of Viagra for Jay Cottrell.
Very nice guy. Anyway, but one of your listeners, Don Petrie.
Yeah, says, Donnie boy.
Okay, well, Donnie boy's a fuckhead. So,
because
he says I should have been FTG because I was a sore loser. Utah beat USC twice. I was sore because of your shitty etiquette, texting me every 4 minutes about how my feelings were going for the game. That's what I was sore about. I was not sore about the game. So, to Don Petrie, go fuck yourself. I wasn't a sore loser about the game. It was Dave's shitty football etiquette.
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting there. Way to split hairs right there.
Interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
And by the way, and also, Zabe gets another FTG. I still haven't gotten a mail. Everybody in the fucking podcast world.
I tried this week. Unfortunately, the Palm is so busy. My man, Eric Larson, said they're just slammed with holiday get-togethers and he couldn't accommodate us. But I'm sorry it didn't work out for your schedule, Jay. I'm very sorry. I will feed you, my friend.
Right. I just thought that was funny.
My FTG goes to a Phoenix area police officer who goes by the porn name of King Nut-A-Lot.
Ew.
Yeah, well, that's his porn name. Apparently, he's under investigation for making porn while on duty as a Phoenix police officer. How could he do such a thing? Because apparently he had been given home assignment for his cop job, Jay, and all he had to do was call in to the station once a day. I had no idea you could be the cop of your own home and patrol your basement and get paid and get benefits and everything else and apparently make porn on the side as King Nut-A-Lot. But for that guy, I say, well, fuck him.
Well, can we applaud him, though, halfway?
No.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Jay. Sorry I didn't get you the meal, buddy. We'll get it done one way or the other.
I'm laughing about that.
All right, pal.
You have a wonderful week, though.
You too. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.